Addicted to Love is created and presented by theroyalpath.com.
Love can be the most wonderful, heart-opening, and nourishing wonder that gives the touch of magic to our experience called life. Love, however, can also be the most devastating and challenging obstacle that can break your heart into a thousand pieces. One of the reasons why it is so hard is that love is often mistaken for a dependency or can even be an addiction. Learning love is like any other discipline. If you want to be good at it, you have to master it. And that is what you learn in this show. Welcome to Addicted to Love. Welcome back to another episode on Addicted to Love. Today, I'm going to have an important and super interesting conversation with an incredible woman. She's a teen whisperer and family coach called Nan Kozemans. I met her a couple of years ago on my personal growth journey somewhere in Ibiza, where I was already taken by her positive energy. And I wanted Nan to come on the show because conscious parenting is so important if we want our children to become safely attached. And in this way, we actively contribute to them finding healthy love later on in life. Parents do have a tremendous responsibility when it comes to bringing up self-respecting, emotionally healthy children. And for this to happen, we need to understand what our kids truly need in different stages of their life so they can grow up to be who they truly are, feeling grounded, resilient, self-confident, and lovable. So this is a very important discussion to have. Even if you do not have children, by listening to this episode, you will help spread this important knowledge wherever you go. This is not just about parents giving that to their children. It is us human beings contributing to making our children feel safe and loved, whether that is your godchild, your niece, or your friend's son or daughter. So let's welcome Nan. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You are welcome. Will you take a moment to introduce yourself? What is it that you're doing and why are you doing it?
Well, that's a long story. You know, what I do today is really an experience of my own life. When I was 14, I had a quite challenging youth. So with my parents, I had to go out of the house when I was 14. And so I dropped myself, or I flew into the life of an adolescent with a lot of fears, with a lot of background that was not very, very positive. So I had to, I went to live with two people, and they brought me in their house. They always called me the little sad bird. Because I was really completely closed. I was totally not myself. I was totally gone. So they helped me to bring out the force I had inside and the light, or I brought the light out of me. I remember all the things they did with me, and was just talking. It was just very easy. It was very loving. I understood something there. Well, it was very important that I understood that I was very strong and I was very conscious. But I was afraid to bring it out, or not even afraid. I put my own mask on. I was very strong, blah, blah, blah. But of course, it was not the real me. So after a while, after a year, I stayed with them for a year. I went to live by myself in a house with 85 students. Yeah, and I was there 16 or 15 or something like that. And I had to take care of myself. And of course, my parents helped me and everything. But it was not the being of the parent. It was the more the material stuff. So I worked and went to school. And so I lived in an adult world when I was very young. So when you come in that world, there's a lot of fears, a lot of things you don't understand, a lot of things you do because your brain is completely developed in a different way when you're adolescent. So the fears you feel are not real. They're real, but you don't, elaborate your thoughts. So it's pure emotion. You live on emotion. So what happened in those years is I just lived. I was a very good adolescent. I was a very wild girl, but I worked very hard. And of course, I failed a lot of things that were like a bit confusing. But with their help and entering in that personal development world, I got so much help and got so many tools that I said, okay, when I'm older, I'm going to create something for adolescents, because I think the most important thing is to remain consciousness. It's conscious about what you do. Also, if you have parties, also if you fell down, also have you, if you'd have mistakes or you do mistakes or whatever. So this is where my company grew. The thought of it when I was, I think, 16. And at the end, in 2010, we developed it finally.
Wow.
Or I developed it. And then slowly my partner came in and a lot of other people. And we developed Unite, who was working with teenagers, especially with teenagers and families. The families came a little bit later because I wanted to keep up the experience first to understand what's going on. With all the studies I did, of course, it's not that you create something like, woohoo, okay, let's see how it's going. Yeah. So this is where it started. And my biggest mission is to bring the consciousness awareness to the youth, to understand that, okay, when I fell down, it's okay. It's okay when I feel bad. It's just, how can I handle that in those kind of situations? So instead of taking drugs, I do something else. Or instead of not understanding my thoughts, then it's completely okay. So I always welcome those kind of things, because the more confused you get, the more answers you will arise, no, slowly. Yes. So this is what we do since 8 years. And we work in Holland. We work in Italy. We do a lot of things with the families together, only with the parents, only with the fathers, only with the mothers, only with everything. It's a big mix of development, but especially awareness. And yes, we also opened our school to become a coach for families or for adolescents, right, to help the others in this conscious way. Mm-hmm. So if we talk about conscious parenting, we're all about the consciousness.
Yes, and that's so important. I mean, thank you for doing this work, because actually adolescence is such an important stage, no? And if we leave them run through that challenge on their own, it's a mess. I mean, I remember my own puberty. It was a mess, right?
Yeah. It is a mess. And especially, the puberty and adolescence are two different kinds of things, because in a puberty, you have your change of your body and your hormones. And adolescence is especially the time of 10 years till 25. Mm-hmm. It's completely... Your brain is kind of redevelop, remodelate the whole the frontal cortex. It's a whole complicated thing, but people don't understand it, and adolescents don't understand it. So yes, they get in those dark moments, they get in those negative days, they get those hormones who are going wild, and they don't understand what to do with it. So yeah, adolescence is very important, especially the age of 10, 11, 12, because they're mm-hmm. very pure. Mm-hmm. And the big step that we don't learn at school is to handle the youth, the part of being a child and becoming an adult. That mm-hmm. step is incredibly enormous. And we work especially on that, because I think that's the most important age where you can work on those kind of things.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a really important mission for me, and especially now, also because the generations change. Right. We have a lot of social network. We have another... friends, and the friends are the telephone today. It's not the real parent anymore. So
yeah.
I'm very happy to make it a life mission, because it is. And it's not easy, but it's...
I can imagine.
Easy. Yeah. Live up, of course.
So can you talk a little bit about conscious parenting for our listeners? Like maybe pointing out the differences, you know, maybe talk about what is in the way of being conscious when we parent from the parent side?
I think the most important thing that we have to remember, that when we becoming a parent, we're not born to be a parent. We become a parent at the moment that you give birth, or even before, of course, when you get pregnant and the thought is there. That's already a process where we have to be a little bit more conscious about what we do, but also the choice we make becoming a parent. I think that's a really, really important choice. Often when I do workshops and I ask parents, I say, why do you become a parent? Mm-hmm. Not for the hot story or something, but
right.
because you choose to become a parent, because you choose to transform yourself in something else. Mm-hmm. And it's, of course, you remain always yourself, but it's more that you get another role in your life. Mm-hmm. And this is the biggest period of growth for yourself. Mm-hmm. So when I became a parent the first time, it was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was very young. I was 23 years. So it's
wow.
You're still a child. You're still an adolescent. Yes. But I really was focused on what I want. I think my strength has always been working on self-reflection. Mm-hmm. So think about, okay, what's going on? Why is he triggering me? Why is this so difficult for me? And that is about conscious parenting. I think sometimes we forget. It's not, I become a parent, I read a book and I do my thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most profound process you can do as a parent. You can live as a parent or as a person. Mm-hmm. And you have to work on it all the time. And I work a lot on self-reflection, because I think if you're a mom and you're still a wife and a partner and a mom and a woman.
And a business owner.
And a business owner, yeah, a lot of things. But still coming back to yourself once a day. So I try it once a day because I don't have a lot of time, but I really need that time for myself. I really want to take that time for myself to reflect on myself, say, okay, what is going on? Mm-hmm. Am I okay as a parent for myself? It's not for the outside world. And this is also something, you know, especially where I live, it's your mother. So you have to be like, you cannot have a job and being a mother. Right. You cannot do this and being a mother. Being a mother is I think it's an all mix of everything. Mm-hmm. No, you cannot separate one of the other. But the most thing is, if you're aware of what you're doing, so take your time to go back in yourself and understand why you answer on kind of questions of children. What's happening often is that when we're born till age 6, 7, okay, there are a lot of experiences stored in our brains on unconscious level, mm-hmm. that if our children are a little bit older or there's something happens with our children, that something, like, for example, I was in a pool in Holland, and when I was very young, I was stuck in the slide. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then that closed thing, oh, terrible. So I went back with my children to that pool 2 years ago, and I said, I wanted to say, watch out for the slide, you know?
Right.
So what kind of thing I'm giving there was exactly the experience that I lived when I was young, but I never remembered it
until
I was there. And those kind of things, if you talk about conscious parenting, it's really to understand how many fears, how many things we give over to our own children on an unconscious level.
Based on our own experience.
Based on our own experience. And this is so interesting to look up for yourself. So why do I act like that? So why is my child triggering me? Why? And this is, for me, very important to be conscious. Then you're a conscious parent. Mm-hmm. Because then you don't react out of your own fear. You don't react out of your own frustration or what you didn't put in place yet in your life. But at that moment, there are two bells ringing. It's like, okay, you can put it in place now. You can understand what's going on. And then at the other part, you can give your child the space to grow by themselves. Did you get the picture?
Yes, absolutely. Like, I have to reflect on, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And why does maybe something trigger me in my interaction with kids, right? Like,
yeah, and the same is when I was growing up with quite a lot of violence. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? You're going to treat your children the same way, or you're going to do it completely different? And you see that sometimes, no? Like, a dentist has black teeth or they have perfect teeth.
Right.
With a parent. So you got that experience. What are you going to do with it? But if you never understood it, if you never understood your own parents, if you never understood the story, why did your parents treat you in a certain way? Why did you live that experience? It's very difficult to understand. You automatically give this over to your children, yes or no? So I think that this conscious parenting is really reflecting on yourself and understand, okay, how can I treat my child so he can be free? He can develop his own soul. He can develop his own life. No, I think that is really important for me when I work with the families and the children.
Yeah, because it's also really hard to see your child for who they are if I'm wearing the glasses of my conditioning, right? Yeah. So from that self-reflection, we need to do the appropriate healing work to be able to actually look at it from another perspective.
Yeah, and the older they become, or also when they're young, your child falls. What happens?
Right.
You're like, oh, poor child. No? Or you're looking at it like, okay, is he hurt? Is it bad? Mm-hmm. Does he have to get up by himself, or do I leave him here? Or those kind of things are a lot of thoughts of, okay, do I react from my own fear, mm-hmm. or my own emotion, or do I react to see, is he growing, yes or no? Mm-hmm. And this is when they're becoming in the time of adolescence. I always ask the parents, what is your goal mm-hmm. with your child? Mm-hmm. Because he's 15, you still fold all his clothes, you put everything in order in his house. What are you doing? You don't bring him to a life that he can live on his own way. So what is your goal to help your children? Is to teach them how to do it, and then you leave it alone. So you have to teach them their responsibility. And it's the same with emotions. If my child doesn't go, he has to go to school, okay, because we have to. And then he finished the year or not, what happens to me? Mm-hmm. When he got bocciato, how do you say that in English? So if he doesn't pass the school year, mm-hmm. what happens to me inside? Mm-hmm. I feel like a mom. I'm not good enough. This is the things that we feel as a parent. Right. Instead of thinking, okay, well, this is a good growing process for him. Yeah. But then you have the mother-in-law, and then you have the friends, and you're not good enough as a mom. Mm-hmm. And this is also for me, what I see a lot, that it's not really re-parenting for ourselves, so on unconscious level. We're parenting to be somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, then being yourself and say, okay, for me, this feels good. My parents said, okay, you always have to sit straight and do this and eat your whole plate. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Sit straight, okay, but why do you have to eat the whole plate if I'm not hungry? So, exactly. You understand? Those kind of things. But sometimes we don't think about it because we're not consciously there thinking, okay, is it good for my child? Is he okay mm-hmm. with it? It's, you know, this mm-hmm. is a whole different kind of approach that we can have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what does safe attachment mean to you? And how do you personally further that in your child? What are the do's and the don'ts?
I think the most important thing is to be in your position, in your own love. How do you say that? Unconditional, loving your child unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And this is very easy to say. Mm-hmm. Of course, I love my child. But being there present and see your child, especially as an individual, mm-hmm. an individual, okay, everyone is completely different. And I think in different kind of stages, it doesn't matter. It's important that you're still always connected with your child is the first thing. Mm-hmm. Because I think if whatever happens, that they understand that they go back to their mom or their dad, of course, and you're there. Mm-hmm. And you're fully there. It's not half there. And and that's the same in security. I see a lot of parents who go running after their children because they're afraid that they do this, instead of leave them completely free till a certain point. Okay. I think there's still a lot of values in families that are really important to talk with each other, to find your values in your families, because otherwise one parent does this and the other parent does that. And then they separate or divorce because they have their own point of views and also their own point of see the safe attachment. And this is also to have those attachments, the safe attachment in your family. I think that's also very important to talk as a parent with each other as a couple and to understand what is for me secure, what is security for me, what is safe for you, and those things. Parents don't talk about that. That's one. But also versus my child. My child has to understand if something happens, you can always come back to the love that we have inside and we give to you. And I think the connection with the brains also in the womb, a mother has especially, they have the connection that also if my child is going to leave to Australia tomorrow, I still have the same connection also on a distance level. Mm. I think that's also something that we have to remind ourselves of, that also, if your child lives his own experiences, that if you are there pure with your love and your pure connection with yourself, that a child receives that automatically. For me, also, the do's and the don'ts depends a lot on your own values, depends on what you want for your own child. What would you like? For me, it's very important that my own children become, but they're all men, they're all boys. But for me, it would be very important that they're, of course, they have to be happy, mm-hmm. especially they can be themselves. Mm-hmm. And that is really difficult in this society. It's really difficult.
I can imagine.
So at least that if they came home and they can be themselves, they don't have to pretend to be someone else. That's for me, right. I think, the most important thing. And you see, my child, when he went to high school, in 3 months, he was another child.
Wow.
And of course, not in the house, outside of the house.
Yes.
Changing the clothes, changing the hair, and the way of talking. But that's for me, it's important that when he comes home, that's okay.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's a good perspective.
And also with the little baby, I'm not running after him all the time. I feel my intuition is, okay, this is very dangerous. So I go, otherwise I leave him there because he knows I'm there. Mm. And I see him walking and he turns around and he looks at me and he's like, okay, you're there, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay.
Yeah. And then they feel safe.
Yeah. If we talk about attachment, I think that's really important. It's the same in your communication versus your child. Mm. If we're so alert on what is not good, mm-hmm. or you say that in Italian, bravo, bravo, some your kid is bravo. Mm-hmm. In Italian, for example, most kids are, I think the first in Europe, that the kids want to show to their parents how much they're good. Mm-hmm. Instead of living, not for the others, to show to the others how good they are, but for themselves. That's the same if you talk with your child and you say, okay, I'm proud of you. It's completely different than you could say, you can be proud of yourself. And when they're older, I talk with my children, I say, I have a lot of respect for you.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
nice.
Respect.
Yes.
Oh, wow, what is that? No, but yeah. Everybody wants to be respected. But if yeah. you're respected by your parents, and then you get a different kind of conversation as well, because I said to my son when he's 15, so really, I really have a lot of respect for you. And I was like, oh, really? Why? I said, because you're a dancer, and it's really difficult in Italy to be a dancer, a classic dancer, because you're a boy and everything. I said, but all the effort you put in, but, okay. You know? And this is a incredible different kind of communication, but you yes. see that the response in children is completely different.
I can imagine, yeah. And also this thing about reward and punishment. I mean, safe attachment for me is also really loving them through their mistakes.
Absolutely.
If they make a mistake, like how we've been brought up was let's say withdrawn from love, like they would withdraw the love. But if my child makes a mistake and I love them through the mistake, helping them to make it better next time, then they feel safe to fail.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if that's also because often it has more to do with you than with your child. If he makes a mistake, it's more our feelings like, oh, my child made a mistake. What will he say about me? Or am I not a good mom or something? But it has nothing to do with the situation.
Right.
And it's the same. I don't like punishment. I like consequences.
Mm-hmm.
To teach my children, if you want to do something and you made a mistake, it's perfect. And maybe if you lied to me, there's a reason why you lied to me, of course. And of course, there has to be consequences, but not punishment, because it doesn't even link with each other. So
exactly.
There's different kind of ways to give a consequence, because if you give a consequence, they can understand from it and next time do it differently, because we're here to teach them that. The same with time management. We cannot pretend that a child is ready to study 5 hours a day.
Right.
And that is also what Dan Siegel says. He says that it's impossible that a child can study more than 40 minutes straight and still yeah. in the schools, they're all there all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's really interesting that you see those kind of things and the result, there's no result. It's not a good result, but we don't adapt ourselves to that way of developing, but it's a whole different story.
So what are the biggest challenges our children face, in your opinion, going through different stages in life? And what is it that they need in these stages?
Well, there are a lot of stages, of course. And I think if I can talk especially about adolescents,
mm-hmm.
the 98% of the guys, the adolescents who come to me, they say, okay, I wanted to be more secure of myself. I want to be more self-confident. How can I do that? And it's especially challenged because we made a movie about that last month. We're so used to fit in a package. We have to be like how the society tells us to be. If we talk about men or women, if we talk about what is the famous doll for a child, is Barbie. She's only perfect. You know, but we all know that if we put Barbie here in real life, that she would totally die because it's not possible to have those kind of measurements or whatever. As a boy, we grow up with Superman, who is not like a fat guy or like eating well. Everything is perfect. So a child is growing up with this kind of vision. Mm-hmm. I have to be like that. The society says that this is okay for me. I have to be in a certain way. Everything is photoshopped. Everything is filtered. Everything mm-hmm. is, and this, what kind of image do we give to our children is that?
Mm-hmm.
So they live with an image that they have to be somebody else than they think they are, or they cannot accept themselves, and also to respect their own uniqueness. And I think we can work a lot on that. We do it. We work a lot with kids on that because they always find something out of their own box and say, okay, he's better than me and she is more beautiful than me, and she, instead of accept their own being.
Yes.
I think in the society of today, and of course with social network and of course with Instagram and all the things that we can filter ourselves and show us with a mask instead of take it off and see who we really are,
mm-hmm.
I think this is the biggest challenge in this moment. Mm-hmm. We work a lot on that because, of course, for ourselves, also to take off their own masks. Sometimes we put it on in different kinds of situations. But what we see with the teens we work with, we have groups sometimes of 50 kids. They say after maybe one day, oh, finally I can be myself.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And first, to find yourself is really difficult. But if you just ask the question, if they connect with themselves, and we do through meditation, a lot of things that we do, it's just a click. Mm-hmm. Maybe we parents or adults, we take it a lot of years and time to do that.
Yeah.
But teens can do this very, very fast.
Yes.
And they create a connection. It is incredible. And what we try to do also is to bring this into schools, to bring into other communities, to show them that it's okay to be yourself exactly how you are. Yeah. And of course, if you eat too much, you have to eat a little bit less because you have to be fit.
Yes.
Not because you're fat or too slim or how we can judge other people on that. It's more, are you okay with yourself? And it's really difficult when you're adolescent. So it's also okay not to feel okay.
Mm.
It's just to understand, okay, if I feel that like that, what can I do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest challenge is that, and the biggest challenge for the smaller kids is also that parents have a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's more like the iPad is the babysitter. We don't want to play. So that world, especially it's a big damage for the brain of the children. But also if they see each other, it's not the real connection anymore with children.
Right.
I see with my little son now, he's 15 months. He goes to preschool. Or whatever, how you call that. And it's wonderful if they pay to, they don't have judgments. They don't think, oh, I have to stretch my leg. I don't do it well. Or something, you know, it's all playing in pureness.
Wow.
And this is what we lose in time. And I think that is what a society has to work on at first.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to work on the future, working on the present. And the present are the children of today and their families. So this is a little bit, I think, what is the most important thing now.
So you realized your book in Italian called What Our Kids Don't Tell Us. So in essence, what exactly is it that they are not telling us?
Well, especially what teens don't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't tell is a lot. Because the biggest problem for them is the communication with the parents. Because mm-hmm. we parents all know everything. You know, mm-hmm. because we already live, we only have our experiences. So the parents, the biggest issue what children have with their parents is they don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read the book, there are a lot of different kind of stories that it's like a diary. A teen writes something about, okay, I love that boy, what I have to do with it or something, but also bullism, also sexual abuse. Also, mm-hmm. there are a lot of things that they never told their parents because they don't feel listened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I also say. Also, the advice I can give to parents or what I give that I can bring to them is if you're with your child and if you think about the research they're done, it's like dads listen to their children like 8 minutes a day and the mother 11.
Oh,
if you think about it, it's not even an hour or an hour and a half in a week. But really listening is to understand, it's not to answer with a solution, it's just being there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really what they miss.
Mm-hmm.
So, also in the book, you find a lot of stories where they cannot express themselves because they got judged, because there's a parent who said, oh, well, we found a solution for that, or they don't feel listened because, yeah, the teacher is the wrong guy, you know? And the parents say, no, you cannot talk about teachers like this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not listening what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what is the biggest problems with teens and parents. So they go in conflict because the parent knows. And the parent, it's the same what I said at the end and at the beginning of the of this interview, it's that the parents is reacting out of his own fear, is reacting off on unresolved experiences to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why being a parent is the biggest growth you can do in life if you do self-reflection.
Right.
So this is what we do in the book. There are a lot of stories of children, a lot of parents who died, of how to go to your first day of school, a lot of things what happened in their minds. And we answer as how can you be parents answering to your child. And then we explain the more technical part, what is behind the development of the brain and how can they react differently. But I think listening, real listening, I think a lot of couples have that sometimes too. And especially have the courage to take off your social mask and talk with your pure heart, or to bring your heart open, to be pure and to be in love with the other person without the judgment. because sometimes more that you feel judged or you're afraid that you will be judged instead of being there simply. Yes. And I think that's the same with children. We can cry in front of our children.
Yes.
We can have fights. That's okay. It's important to see that you can say, I'm sorry, or it's important to talk with your children about it, or there's so many things that we can do, but we don't. Because when you're a parent, you have to be like a certain way. That's not true. So if you're a man, you can totally cry. Also, if you're a dad, because you show your emotions. And what I see with children, especially boys, I have to be strong. Mm. No, baby, you're much stronger if you just cry if you're sad. Yes. And approve that sadness as a parent. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like a child, and also with the small children, they go in the kindergarten or something, and or in the park, and they fall down. What does parent, or and also grandfathers and mothers says, oh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
How you know that? You're totally neglecting their feelings.
Exactly.
And so they say, okay, I cannot feel pain or I cannot show my emotions. And I think this is one of the most important things today. And when they grow up, they do the same thing. I cannot be emotional. I don't understand my emotions. We do emotion labs with children. They don't understand what's going on in their mind and they don't understand what they feel. And they don't understand if this frustration, is this fear, what am I going to do with this, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is also something what parents normally don't know.
Absolutely.
Why? Do you reflect on yourself? Do you understand why your children did this? I think it's a very important issue.
Yeah, because when I was growing up, that was my biggest longing, to have my feelings validated, you know? Because then I just walked around with this ocean of feelings, having nowhere to go with it. And that makes me feel very unseen, unloved.
Yeah.
And where am I going with it? I think that conflict, that struggle makes children really hopeless.
Yes, and the bomb explodes.
No, at some point, yeah.
Yeah, we explain it to children. If you have like a big balloon and you put air in it and you put more air in air, you don't let it out, it explodes. And especially what's happening with their body. Mm-hmm. And you see so many children who are so creative, but they cannot be creative. They're so amazing in doing sports, but they can't. Or so they're so stopped by the outer world. And that's such a pity, because they're so amazing. And I think if we could create businesses and listening to our children, what they want for their future, I think we can create amazing things. So it's really in everything, and not in business, but also in life. I think we have a lot of little Einsteins,
yes.
But they don't have the freedom to express themselves. And it's the same with the emotions. They don't understand it. And especially, it's also what we see with especially small children, is that they take over so many emotions of their parents.
Yes.
I have fear. And then you go back to the parent and say, is there like some fear in the family? Yes, exactly the same thing.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. So why your child is talking like that he has fear for spiders? Yeah, because I have it too. Okay. So we understand why it is like that, no?
Exactly.
So you didn't work on your issue and your child is taking it over automatically or not. Depends if he wants attention. There's different kind of ways, of course.
And kids are so sensitive, like they pick up every single change in the mother's voice, in the mother's look, how they look at that. It's like this sponge of absorbing whatever is happening around them, right?
Yeah.
So the responsibility we carry as parents doing our own proper healing work is actually huge if we don't want to give it or pass it on to our kids.
It's really, really important. I have to say also, I have to admit, it's really difficult. It's really difficult because you want to educate, you want to be there, you want to be in your presence as a parent, but also as a woman, as a partner, as a business partner. You want to do so many things that sometimes also to make mistakes in that, it's okay too.
Of course.
That we don't have to be perfect person or whatever. I don't even know what perfect is. But I think as a mom, especially when you have your child already in the womb, you can, that's really amazing connection that it's indescribable, but it's also very delicate and important. So you really have to watch out, I think. Really be conscious with yourself. I remember when my children were in the belly that I had special retreats with them, or how do you say that? Special moments with them that I still have. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same. When I had my hand on their head, I do the same when they were in the belly, and you get the same connection. There's so many things that you can explore.
Mm-hmm.
So being a parent is not an easy thing. You don't get a manual. So like, hey, you have to do it like that. But also before you make that choice, I think sometimes we really have to think very well of really want to do that. And of course, I work with a lot of children also that had come from really problem families. So it's not so nice. Sometimes I really thought like, okay, we need a pre-course, you know, you have a pre-course to marry, to do your marriage. Maybe you have to do that for parents as well.
Oh, so much. Yes.
Because if you don't heal yourself, and of course, I think we're never completely healed. It's more to put your stitches and okay, it's part of us. But I think for a parent, it's really need it's a must work.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So my last question to you would be, what are some great tips for parent-child bonding? What can parents do to further the bond?
Well, especially, it's always the age, but I think they're in this busy life we all have. I think it's the moments of the quality and your pureness, as I said before, show your emotions, be who you are. And show also that you can do it wrong. Mm-hmm. Show also when you're nervous. Show when you have your menstruation or whatever. You being real, I think that's the biggest example you can give to your own children. Mm-hmm. And if you have a hard life or you have hard moments, there are ups and downs in our lives. And it's not always perfect. It's not always positive. And I think this is the first thing we have to learn our children. To bond with them is, I think, already automatically in that way to connect with them. Mm-hmm. To connect with them with your real self and with their real self and have those moments of quality time. Also, if you're very busy, also if you work a lot because maybe you also have your responsibility to bring it home. Children really need that little time. Also, maybe before they go to bed, because before they go to bed, they go in an emotional state what is very soft and very sweet and whatever age they have, also when they're 17. And I think those moments are very important to connect with your child and not being there, okay, listen, you don't have this, but being there and say, are you happy? You had a good day. What was not nice? What not? You know, and especially when you're a parent, you have to be pure in your questions, not because you have to. Do I really want to know this today? No? Okay, I don't ask. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's not that I have to force myself to bond. I have my bond with my children and sometimes a little less and sometimes a little more. Mm-hmm. And sometimes are those little moments that you can enjoy and you have so much joy that you can live for it. I don't know how to explain that.
No, I totally get it. Yeah.
But let them free to be themselves and be there if they have sad times as well that they can, and especially with teens, avoid the solutions. Mm-hmm. Always ask, so what would you like to do with that? How do you feel about that? And I think that's the automatic responses we have with children is, okay, I go to school. How was your school day? They don't want to talk about their school day. Okay, they're already there 5 hours. They just want to relax when they come home. Mm-hmm. And so I leave, I always see my children, they come back in the bike and it's like, okay, I see their face like, okay, it was not a good day. Mm-hmm. So they come home, they put themselves on a couch 20 minutes and leave their own thing with their telephone or whatever. And then we get lunch and then they try to talk. They come to and those are little moments that their phones are not there. There's no TV. There's nothing. There's just us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we talk a lot and sometimes we don't say anything. And sometimes a little baby is yelling there, doing it. But those moments are really precious. And I think it's not about how much time you're with them, but really, really the time that you are there, you're totally present.
Yeah. Wow. I feel really grateful that, you know, that you have given so much consideration to this field because I can really feel how that has landed in you and how you're sharing this with the world around you. So thank you so much for all these, you know, nuggets of wisdom and the energy you put in. This was really adding value to our listeners. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. It was great to talk.
And I want to give you the opportunity also to tell our listeners, you know, how they can find you, what it is you're working on, what you want them to check out, how they can get in contact with you, like just share whatever is important to you right now.
So for now is the most important for parents is Genitori in Azione. Okay, for is the Parents in Action and UniteOnline.com. Mm-hmm. So we've always said the English page. It's not very updated because we work a lot with the Dutch and Italian, of course. Mm-hmm. And if they want to find me, they can find me everywhere. It's just taking my name also on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on my website. So okay.
I'll put it in the blog anyway.
So. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And good luck with all your kids and
your
darling.
I said that my own kids are my biggest lesson.
Yeah.
So you can study whatever you want, but your own kids are your biggest lesson. And I love it. I always say to my children also, I am the bad mom. Sometimes I'm the bad mom. And sometimes I'm the good mom. And sometimes I'm whatever. I don't know. So yeah, it's really, really nice. It's a really interesting experience sometimes.
Thank you, Nan.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Soon. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So that's it for today's episode of the Addicted to Love podcast. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week will win a Love Makeover private coaching with Aaliyah Ava herself. Be sure and go to addictedtolovepodcast.com to subscribe and get your free copy of Aaliyah Ava's Love Addiction Mirror. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Addicted to Love is created and presented by TheRoyalPath.com.